Good morning. It's the 17th of October. Our New Testament reading today is John 9 and 10. I'm reading from Brother Melva Purkis once again. The man born blind said, "Why, herein is a marvellous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." This was altogether too much for the Pharisees. The interview had assumed a grotesque form. It could only have one ending if they were to salvage the slightest vestige of dignity. They still had the power to ruin him. "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. It is an age-old remedy. Not only would he no longer worship, but he was ostracized from society, and would find all the doors of employment closed to him. Even those who engaged in conversation with him would be frowned upon. In view of the timidity of his parents, it is possible that he would be turned out from his own home. But the record does not end there. Such loyalty to Christ will always have the same glorious sequel. How many days of loneliness and persecution the young man endured, we do not know. But he was ready now for the complete enlightenment of spiritual vision. Jesus heard that he had been cast out, and he went in search of him. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe in the Son of God?" The estranged man would immediately recognize that voice and know who stood before him. For the first time, his eyes reverently searched the face of the one who had made him whole. His reply seems to sense the impending revelation and promised obedience. "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" With what loving appropriateness Jesus finally reveals himself by reminding him of the evidence which supports his claim. "Thou hast seen him." And to remove the last shadow of doubt, "It is he that talketh with thee." And so this poignant scene ended in the only possible way. John records it. "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. We cannot leave this dramatic incident without briefly suggesting its lessons. As we have seen, the signs of John's Gospel contained the particular purpose of illustrating the great spiritual truths of Christ's work. This miracle set forth the claim that Jesus had made in the temple a few hours before. It showed him to be the light of the world. The blind man begging at the gate of the temple is a powerful symbol of the blindness and poverty of man, proclaiming his need at the gateway of heaven. The power to remove both, for the one is largely determined by the other, is revealed by the coming of the Son of Man. Our blind eyes are touched by the ointment, prepared by the mingling of the dust of the ground with the moisture from the mouth of him who was sent from heaven. But this does not cure us. We receive the commandment to go and wash in the waters of apostleship. John is careful to point out that Siloam means sent. It is a long and difficult journey. Some do not undertake it at all. Some begin, only to give it up and resume their begging at the gate. Often it is made shorter and easier by the friendly guidance of one who can see. It is the responsibility of all enlightened ones to listen for the tapping of the stick and the cry to be directed to the waters of Siloam. But faith and obedience are rewarded. With the washing of the waters, we enter a new world illuminated by the Sun of Righteousness. This may mean estrangement, persecution, and sacrifice, but it will always be an opportunity for witness and loyalty. Jesus will know. Thank you for listening.